Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.
Brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Float game for the win! Ayler's gone! Goodbye, touchdown, Indy! Woo! IU! America! They got a football team now!
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Glad to have you along for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio coming to you on this Friday into the week. And what a spectacular way to end the week. The weather is going to be awesome. The NCAA tournament is back. The Indiana High School Boys Basketball State Finals are this weekend. It is a cornucopia of basketball in the basketball haven of Indiana. And I'm here for it, but here for you guys as well. Hope you're having a great start to your day. I am, because I'm with you all. So happy about it. Happy to have you along, no matter where and how you're listening on one of our great radio station affiliates. Glad to have you all. 97.7 ESPN, the Ref down in Evansville. 1230 AM, 104.7, the Voice of the Region, WJOB up in the region. And the 1380, the Fan in Fort Wayne. Fort Wayne's only sports station. Looking forward to another fun show. Todd Leary will be along to join us. Zach Osterman and Alec Lasley with a pretty big announcement. So looking forward to all of that. Getting your thoughts on everything that's going on. Indiana coaching situation, the transfer portal. Guys are going all over the place. That's for certain. And it really hasn't, the transfer portal itself has started, but the real wheeling and dealing hasn't. A lot of guys are going on visits. But there are some commitments. We'll talk about some of those. And, I saw somebody, one of the guys from Iowa has committed to TCU, and one of UConn's players is in the portal. We'll talk about that, as well. I got to make sure I get the invite sent out to all of our peeps. Apparently, I did not attach the link that I intended to. So, boom. Now that's done. Great. I was just looking at some of the transfer portal action. Iowa transfer Brock Harding committed to TCU. That comes from On3's Joe Tipton. And who else did I see? Oh, UConn wing Isaiah Abraham entering the transfer portal. He tells On3's Joe Tipton, former top 65 recruit, played in 9 games for the Huskies this season as a true freshman. Abraham is a 6'7" wing. For those of you who are pining about Braylon Mullins, don't. He's not going to do much as a freshman, I would not imagine. And you never know. You could very possibly see him back in Indiana or somebody else just like him soon. Carl asking a great question, but I'm going to save that. I'll say it. The question is, Thoughts on Bryson Tucker not portaling yet? Seems ironic since he didn't play at the end of the season. Well, yes and no. Yes, I'll go with that. But yes, because that had more to do with the Mike Woodson dynamic. Trust me. And that is why you have not. I think that that's a great sign, if you want to be honest, that new coach Darren DeVries likes his game once he's around, because it's not that he's missing out by not entering the portal yet, just yet. But I think that shows some intentions, just like I think it showed with Kanan Carlisle, Miles Rice entering the portal just after what I expect were conversations held with Darren DeVries, whom will be the state finals this weekend, of course. We've talked a ton about that. I'll be up there tomorrow in Indianapolis, and I'm quite certain Darren DeVries will be there as well, if nothing else to make a presence, but always players in the Indiana High School Final Four. Can't wait to talk to Todd Leary about that today. You know, some things that I either had forgotten or had learned about the Final Four the year he played in 1989, which is the same year that my high school, Floyd Central, and Pat Graham were there. So, but I'm looking forward to that. Glad to have everybody along as well. Jumping on, Laurie asking, how come Tucker DeVries is not officially committed to Indiana? Is it just a given? Need to get, not sure what that means. Well, as a player, from my player standpoint, there's things to work out. NIL, maybe it's something to do with finishing school. I have no idea. Is it a given? Yes, it's a given. So don't worry about that. I think that one of the things also might be that Darren DeVries would like for his first commitment to not be his son. Something a little more meaty, if that makes sense. Not that getting him is not great. It is. He's a great player. But I think that he'd like to have some names going there. But yes, it is a given. And yes, I found my phone. It was not really lost. I kind of knew where I had left it. And then I used to find my phone yesterday morning. But we'll get on that story as well. I'm going to take a quick break. On the other side, the man, the myth, the legend, the shot father, from myjumpshot.com, Todd Leary will join us. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios as the shot father, Todd Leary from myjumpshot.com. Looks like you're about to go deliver a load of prisoners
mobile
to the county jail.
Mobile version today. hey, no jail jokes.
that one was just too easy, and I figured I better do it before somebody else did. It'd be easier coming from me. But no, and I'm glad that you are just always affable in regards to being jokey about that. Seriously, I'm not sure that I would be. I might punch somebody in the nose.
And 15 years later, you wouldn't.
That's probably true. Man, there is so much going on of all things this weekend in the basketball state. I talked earlier, you've got a regional round in Indianapolis of the NCAA tournament with not only Purdue playing in that, but Houston playing in that. Some just tons of great teams, obviously. And then the Indiana State Finals going on. Can't wait to talk to you about some stuff that I learned, that one of which I either forgot or just didn't know. In regards to when you were there in 89. And so looking forward to all of this that's going on this weekend, just a gigantic basketball weekend in Indiana, but it always is in March. But yesterday in talking to Kristen Airy, who's with us, the Lakers played the Pacers the other night. That still jacks my chain. I was like, why are there three Lakers around the basket, but not one Pacer? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But Austin Reeves had 23 points in that game. And Chris said that his father played for Kokomo in 1989. Brian Reeves. Did you know him?
I mean, I didn't realize that was his father.
Yes.
I know who Brian Reeves was for Kokomo for sure.
That, well, his son plays for the Lakers, man.
That's Reeves' father?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's, well, I mean, they play a lot alike. He's just taller than his dad was. But, yeah, he was a really good point guard for Kokomo. And we prepared really hard for him. We spent a lot of time talking about he ran their whole offense. He was a really, really good player for Kokomo. So, yeah, I 100% know who he is, but I did not realize that was his dad.
Well, I learned that yesterday. I was like, whoa, wait. I'm like, golly. But it's always like that with an Indiana Final Four. You had Pat Graham and the Gibson brothers. I find out about the Reeves. And then, of course, Lawrence North, though, they were poor. They had Todd O'Leary, Eric Montross, and Derwin Webb, which
we did not have Derwin Webb.
Well, I didn't think so. That's why I was like, where did that come from? I don't know.
He was there the year before, but he had graduated. He was a year older than me. So he was at Louisville already by that point.
Okay. I was wondering why I didn't. I'm like, I don't remember that. And so that explains that. Thank you.
Yep.
Was anybody on South Bend St. Joe's the fourth team of note? I know they had some hell of a players. They had a great team there. They like 54-2 and the last 2 years or something.
Yeah, I know they were I think probably the favorite going into, you know, the Final Four there. But yeah,
they had knocked off Marion.
Yeah, and Marion was kind of our bugaboo. They were the hurdle we couldn't get over. You know, in all my time at Lawrence North, we never beat Marion when I was there. Now, of course, the first couple times was Jay Edwards and Lyndon Jones.
Yes.
Beat us by 50, literally 50. I'm not like exaggerating that. They beat us by 50. So yeah, it was just South Bend St. Joe had Rodney Holmes and some, you know, some really good players, guys that were on the Indiana All-Star team, but you know, they were just a really, really good, solid team, and we just
like this Fishers team is now. What the hell?
This Fishers team is more than a solid team. They do everything right. Like I've watched them play a couple of times, and boy, they are fundamentally sound. They're athletic. They do things the right way. They play hard. They dive on the floor. Like they're a good team. They're a fun team to watch.
Well, they're obviously a good team. They haven't lost.
In a couple years. Yeah.
So and to do that in Indiana 4A, that's making some hay, baby. Impressive. And putting it in the barn.
No doubt.
But your old friend Sharon Wilkerson and his Jeffersonville Red Devils are the last hurdle in their path as they will play for a state championship. Very happy for Sharon.
Yeah, great dude.
You know as well as I how much of a 180 he has also done. And boy, would that be cool to see him win a state championship as a coach for Jeffersonville, having won one as a player as well. That would be kind of special.
Oh, incredible. I mean, very few people in that category. So yeah, it'd be super cool. A big task. You're right. But Jeffersonville has a really, really good team too. They've got three players I saw play in AAU last year, that are all D1 players. Like this will be a really, really good game and easily, I think, Fisher's toughest opponent over the last couple of years.
Oh, and we can't forget about the Orleans Bulldogs. They're up in Indianapolis as well, baby. Right down the road from us. This is going to be like a kind of a Hoosier-esque kind of moment. I'd say about half of Orleans may be up in Indy, baby.
No doubt. Yeah, this is, you know, when I go on my rants and say how much I hate class basketball and all this stuff, how they ruined it and all of that, then these circumstances come around and you're like, all right, it's not the worst thing in the world. I still don't love it. I wish it was one class. But when you get to see kids have this opportunity and an entire community like Orleans have this kind of opportunity, I get it. It makes it fun.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I think that it's better for the bigger schools to beat the bigger schools all the way to get there. And I'm the same with you. It's, you know, you pine for how things used to be, but things aren't the way they used to be anyway.
Right, so right.
schools are so much freaking bigger. I mean, there wasn't when Milan won the state championship, there was no 5,000 student Carmel High School.
Right.
Big difference.
Yeah. And I get it. But the thing, like my argument against that used to be, it wasn't just the state championship. Like teams winning their sectional in some of the smaller communities was the biggest thing that went on. Like it was so much fun and such a gigantic deal. And to knock off, you know, some Goliath somewhere, like those are the memories that are just fun. And the movie Hoosiers is the perfect example. And you know, if we had class basketball, that movie never exists. And I think a lot of us in Indiana and a lot of people across the country feel like that's one of the best sports movies that's ever been made. So,
oh, there's no question. Absolutely. It's number one. It stays. It'll always be number one
for us. It is for sure.
Exactly. We're not alone either. A lot of people feel that way. Speaking of Hoosiers, something that is not Hoosier-esque. How about Alabama hitting 25 three-pointers last night? I just kept watching that scoreboard. It was just like a slot machine going up. They had 100 points with 6 minutes to go in the game. And I'm like, they're going to score 125 points in this game, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was whoever Alabama played yesterday, they were going to beat. That was, you know, an unfortunate circumstance for BYU. Honestly, think about how close of a game it was with about 12 minutes to go, even considering how many threes Alabama hit. So it's not like BYU played bad. They just ran into, you know, the buzzsaw. Yeah, for sure. And no one was going to beat Alabama yesterday. If they shoot like that, no one will beat them.
No, but I don't think that's going to hold up for
– Yeah, oh, they shot terrible the last couple of games. So, yeah, that was – they were due.
A great question that came in from Carl. It said, what are your thoughts on Bryson Tucker not portaling yet? Seems ironic since he didn't play much at the end of the season. And my answer was, well, I took a hint when that Kanan Carlisle and Miles Rice hit the portal after what I expect were conversations with Coach DeVries, but that's an assumption. I think that Bryson Tucker is either going to stick around or he certainly has serious thoughts about it right now, because the reason he didn't play at the end of the year, I think that was a shutdown from either his camp or Woodson's camp for whatever reason. But that's just my opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he doesn't go into the portal, it would kind of surprise me. And this is just my opinion on the portal in general. Every kid, I think, should probably check his value, unless you're like a person who knows, you know, where they're going to go and they're going to get top dollar anyway, where they're already at. But that's pretty rare circumstance. I mean, I put my name in the portal, and most of the people I played with would put their name in the portal at this, given the way college basketball is today. So, yeah, it surprises me a little bit that he hasn't. I still think he might. But that's just me guessing. I don't know that at all.
Well, his game, and I think you said this, his game seems to really play into Darren DeVries' style of playing.
It does. And you know, you also look at, you know, Indiana has a big budget. And, you know, I mean, is he going to make more money going somewhere else? If he's not going to fit in here at all, then – yeah, you definitely need to look at going somewhere else. But I don't think that's the case, and I probably don't think he feels the way that way either. So, you know, I don't know. I just – Indiana is in a unique situation because although I think a lot of kids should put their names in the portal no matter what every year just to test their value, Indiana is going to pay more than most places are anyway. So, I don't know. It doesn't surprise me, although it kind of does in some circumstances, because I can see how you'd want to test the market or maybe go back closer to home. You know, I thought Maryland might be a place he might want to go until all of the craziness that's gone on with their staff or an AD and all that in the last week. So I'd say they're probably on hold there too.
Well, and staff DeVries is still putting together, but there are certain people that I think is known that are coming over, is Preston Murphy, that name. Drew Adams is a name I keep hearing from Cincinnati. Of course, son of Mark Adams, a lot of AAU connections. He's and that would be something that I could see happening, because that would help Darren DeVries with a recruiting connection and more of a connection with Indiana as a whole.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a big deal for them to you know, have a much bigger presence in the state from the high school recruiting perspective. I think Purdue's pretty much had that locked up for the last, you know, several years, and I don't think it was a focus for Coach Woodson. I do think it will probably become more of a focus with this staff. So definitely getting intertwined in the AAU world is going to be important. And although I know the portal's gigantic and big, bringing in that one or two high school guys every year that you can develop for a couple of seasons, I think is the recipe for success. And I think Purdue proves that.
And there's probably going to, if you land them, if you have the opportunity, and Indiana will have these opportunities in the future to land a Cooper Flag, a bona fide five-star one and done, you're not going to turn that down. And I'm not saying you build your team on that, because you don't. You can't build a program that way. But at the same time, all you got to say is Duke's doing okay this year, not having a bad season. You're not going to turn a player down of his caliber, but at the same time, you'd certainly like to have as many Trent Sisley types as you can, and you're going to mix it in with Portal. It's the nature of the beast now.
It really is. And, you know, just look at the teams that are still playing, you know, including the ones that lost yesterday. Look at their rosters and look at where the guys came from. A lot of them are put together with exactly like what you're talking about. There's a couple guys that have been there for a few years. There's a couple of guys that are brand new. And I think that's probably going to be the way that things are. You know, looking at the Sweet 16, I mean, don't want to throw around the word blue blood, but you had mostly power schools in that. And, you know, I think that's a result of the portal. And, you know, every year the mid-majors to Division II teams are going to get, you know, pilfered through. And they're going to become farm systems for the Power Five or Power Conferences. And I think that proves itself.
I assume you got a chance to meet DeVries the day that he was introduced.
I did not.
Okay. I didn't know. I didn't know. Have you had a chance to talk to him at all yet? I know he's busy as heck.
I've not. You know, I know Scott Dolson's always great about us in contact and all of that. And, you know, I just respecting his trying to feel his way around right now and just figure stuff out. I think last thing he needs is some schmo calling him trying to introduce himself, but I will eventually. This schmo will do it eventually.
Well, yeah, it is. He does have a few things on his plate. I mentioned the high school finals, which he'll probably be up there on Saturday. And I'm not sure that there's a lot of guys to look at, but you know what? There may be some guys that Indiana has kind of looked over. Trey Singleton from Jeffersonville is one of those going to DePaul right now. He's a player, but again, other than the fact that now the scholarship limit is going to be 15, I bringing in freshmen, you're not going to bring in three or maybe four freshmen. I don't think you're going to have a class bigger than that. You don't need to now, because there's going to be a lot of change. But those four guys are important, and you want the four best guys you can get. And
for this season, for right now, given what's happened in the last month, it's almost a political move. Like DeVries has to show up. Political move. And it's something that Mike Woodson didn't make a priority.
Right.
And I do think it's something that should be a priority. Even if you're not recruiting one player, you know, from any of those schools, being there, that you never know. You never know when there might be a Cooper Flag come out of Jeffersonville or, you know, Fishers or wherever it might be. And you've got to put that time and effort into it. It's just part of the job.
Absolutely. And we're looking forward to seeing all that goes on this weekend. there would be no reason for him to go to the NCAA tournament, so I would not expect to see him up there. He's got plenty to do putting together his staff, like I said, and the portal. He is there focused on the portal, and until he has his staff put together,
right,
that has to be very difficult navigating all this stuff. I know he has people helping him. I know Scott is probably has some guys that are naturally good at that, or there may be guys that are behind the scenes from the previous staff that are helping. I don't know, but there's no way he's doing it all by himself. It's just too much.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not the way things work. Like, there's just too much to do and too many people to sift through and you know, vet and see what they're all about. Not just as a guy, you know, I think he made this pretty clear. And not just as a guy need to be talented, he needs to fit the culture that we're trying to create. I say we, I shouldn't say that. That he's trying to create, because we don't have Indiana doesn't have a culture right now. And you know, that culture used to be winning and doing things the right way, and that's gone away. And I think that's what he wants to get back to. But finding guys that are not only talented and fit the system, but also fit the culture that he wants to put in that locker room. He mentioned the locker room and how important that was multiple times in his press conference. So, you know, not only is it finding talent, it's finding the right talent.
Oh, very Cignetti-esque.
Yep.
Finding the right fits. And I think that sounds obvious to a lot of people, but it just doesn't always work out that way. When you look at it, you're like, man, Indiana's roster was kind of like that, a little wonky. But you've got to have the right fits for what you are trying to do, or it's going to make it very difficult to achieve your goals.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? Like, it's going to be another interesting year. This is, I think, one of the benefits of the portal. Is it used to be, once the season was over, you knew pretty much what your roster was going to look like the next season. And sometimes that wasn't all that exciting. Well, right now, not only when the season is over, but we get a whole another month and a half to sit here and be excited about who we might sign, who we might get, who might come here, how he's going to fit, you know, all the different things. And just watching all the coaching moves and all the portal moves these next couple of weeks will be, you know, not interesting, but fun in my perspective.
Yeah, one of the things that we've talked about, though, is the fact that the portal opens during the NCAA tournament.
Stupidest thing I've ever seen. How's that make sense?
Pippen from Michigan, who plays, don't they play tonight?
Yeah.
He's in the portal.
Yeah, makes no sense. None of it makes any sense. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I get it. Like, you know what? You know what makes that smart? Because he's getting to audition. He's in the portal. He's getting to say, hey, Arkansas, hey, Kentucky, hey, whomever, you know, what am I worth? What if he goes out and has a couple of really good games? Like, it's, yeah, I mean, great point. Production over potential. That's the Cignetti way. And that's kind of what the Pippen kid is saying. Hey, look, I'm in the portal, and you get to watch me audition for you right here all weekend long. So, yeah, I think it sucks because they put these kids in the position that they almost need to – almost need to put their name in the portal, even though their team is still playing. And that's just a bad position that the NCAA has put them in.
Yeah, I said earlier that Trey Singleton was going to DePaul. I meant Northwestern. Same city. Had schools mixed up. But still, I think he's someone that will be looked at. And, you know, for all the people that were pining for Braylon Mullins, I'm like, just relax. Let him have a year at UConn. He may be back. You never know. If he turns out that you want him back, it may not be – there may be the flavor of the month next year. You never know. I don't know that that's – at this point, after having lost his recruitment, it would be good to get it back. And like you said, I use that line all the time, and I tell him that you said it, that I'd be, you know, at his house offering him a ride to school. And we don't know what
– just to see, because you never know. Like, look, the last years, I mean, there's been no question about it. UConn flew through 12 games in the NCAA tournament, 6 2 years ago and 6 last year, and they beat the snot out of everybody. I mean, you talk about flavor of the month. They were flavor of the 24 months. And they've not been that this year. And there, I think UConn is looked at totally different right now than they were this time last year. And especially when Braylon Mullins made his decision. And I don't know, I have no inside information. Don't know him at all. But I'm just saying, I'm sure it feels a little different now. Danny Hurley, when you're blowing everybody out in the NCAA tournament by 20 some points, you can get away with all the antics and goofiness that he has going on. But you know, when you're not winning, that goofiness turns into starting to annoy some people, and just it's looked at different, and it's not accepted the same way. And whether that's right or wrong, it's just is. So I don't, you know, you never know. You know, you got to put the Braylon Mullins situation, and I shouldn't even use his name. You got to put these portal and recruitment situations. You just let them play out, because you never know. And you put them all in the category of you never know just what might happen. And I think Braylon Mullins probably falls into that category.
And I'm not suggesting that there's a great chance of it happening, but let's say for our argument's sake that it did happen, that he's had a change of heart and said, you know what, different coaching staff there. I think that's a system I would do well in. And they've offered me a good NIL package, and I can stay home. And he changes his mind. How big of a signal would that be for Darren DeVries sending out?
It would be gigantic. I mean, obviously, that would be, you know, you'd be fixing a problem, and that problem, in my opinion, being the former staff at Indiana didn't worry about recruiting the state of Indiana very hard. Or high school kids in general that hard. And that's not uncommon nowadays. So I'm not just singling out that staff, but that's just the way that they were. I don't think it's the best one, and I don't think it's the best way to create a culture. And I think it would be a home run for DeVries if he was able to do something like it. It'd be a grand slam. Like, that's not a home run, is understating it. So, I mean, it'd be a big deal, but I don't think it's any kind of deal breaker. I'm not even wishing for it. I'm not even thinking about it, because if it's something that happened, hey, I mean, yeah, an incredible situation. But there's just a lot of other things. I mean, you made a good point. You never know who's going to step up next year. Braylon Mullins last year, I think before the end of the season, was not rated nearly as high as he was halfway through the summer. Yep. And who's going to be the Braylon Mullins of this summer? There'll be one. There'll be several. There'll be several. And they just might not be from Greenfield.
Yep. There's no question about that, because there always is. There's always another Todd Leary coming down the road, baby. They can put it up.
Let's find another Calvert.
That's a different type of player there. Braylon Mullins is more like a Todd Leary. He can put it up. Calvert could do a little bit more. He had that baseline drive move. Even when shooting from the baseline, he was driving, pump faking you and put it with the flush. Speaking of flushing, well, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. We've got the great Todd Leary with us, shot father from myjumpshot.com. If you have kids, no kids, nieces, nephews, great birthday present, Christmas present, graduation present. Help them improve their basketball fundamentals. Go to myjumpshot.com. We're back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Friday. Glad to have you along on this big time basketball weekend. The great Todd Leary from myjumpshot.com along for the ride as well. And, the staff, I was talking about Mark Adams earlier. I forgot he was on Tom Crean's staff back in, 2009 to 2011, I think. So he was around when Cody Zeller, Yogi Ferrer, Dale Gerston, those kinds of guys. But familiarity with the program, probably something that Darren DeVries would love to have as well.
Yeah, and that whole family, you know, from the Bloomington area, and Mark Adams is very well intertwined in the AAU, especially the Indiana Elite program, and that's, you know, where Mullins and Sisley and those guys have played last year. So, yeah, it's And I don't know, you know, what level or role they would even be looking at for them, but having those kind of people getting back involved in the AAU scene, and especially the local Indiana AAU scene, is hopefully an important piece for this new staff.
Oh, absolutely. And yes, Andrew, I always say winning cures all ills, baby. It makes everything better. Rick would like to see find the kids that want to play for Indiana. I think that's going to be a mix. You're going to find kids that want to play for Indiana, like Trent Sisley and others, but you're still going to, there's going to be guys that just want to play. Yep. They want to play on a good team. They want to make a good NIL bag.
See, there's going to be a lot of kids who just want to play and get the NIL. Like, they don't even care about good teams. Everyone's going to say, oh, we want to win. You know, I want to go somewhere where I can win. A lot of that is talk. And you can tell by the way a kid acts and plays, whether that's talk or legit. And, you know, you get a kid like Sisley, it's legit. He wants to play at Indiana. He could be offered a lot more money at another school, and I think he would go to Indiana. That's the kind of kid, I agree with the comment, that's the kind of kid you want to go, that's who we want to root for. That's who we want to follow and be a part of.
How many of those kids are there left today?
You don't need a roster of 12 to 15 of them. You need four or five of them, because they will.
Are there many though in a given year?
Yeah. Well, not four or five to come in, but when you build a culture, so Sicily's going to be there for 3 or 4 years.
Okay. Staggered across.
Add one or two in every year. And then you've created a culture where when you do bring guys in, learn a little, you know, they might listen, they might learn. And when you bring in the right guys in the locker room, I'll say it again, Coach DeVries was very clear and specific about the culture he wants to create, and the locker room is important to him. And that locker room is a big deal, because when it's bad, it's hard to overcome. And you get one bad apple in there and the whole thing can go bad. So I think he's going to be very intentional about who he brings in.
Yeah, you know, I just noticed someone had a much better comment than I did earlier. That was better. I can't find it again, but it said, "Is Todd driving a Brinks truck delivering some NIL money right now?"
That would be nice. If I did, I would pretend.
I would have you stop by here first and say, "We're heading someplace else, baby." We do the show live mobile as well, but wouldn't be stopping. Heading south.
Unfortunately, I'm just moving stuff today. So, yeah, it's not fun. Nothing fun. So
that does not sound
no
fun.
Brinks truck.
And you're missing out on a great golf day.
Yeah, I didn't. It's going to be windy. Too windy for me. You know, I'm fair. Oh,
is it going to be windy? See, I don't have time to keep up with all that stuff.
Yeah, windy.
I'm just glad it's going to be nice.
It is nice.
I'm looking forward to that. The NCAA tournament this weekend, tonight, rather. Some big-time games, man. Last night. Alabama was I still can't get over how they throttled BYU. But then you had daggone it. What was the game that just went
back? Texas Tech coming back and winning that game against Arkansas. Wow. I wrote them off. Not only because of the score, Arkansas just controlled the game. Like, it was for 35 minutes, that game was controlled by Arkansas. And boy, that's what tournament, March Madness, that's how the name comes about, because there's no way Texas Tech should have won that game last night, and they figured out a way to win, and that makes them a scary team, I think.
I'm not gonna lie, I was hoping that Texas Tech would win, mainly because they didn't want another SEC team in there. I'm like, geez, they're already gonna have half of the Elite Eight.
Yeah, well, they have 7 of 16, I think, heading into this weekend. So, yeah. They were the best program or the best conference across the country. I mean, I don't like admitting that, because I always like to stand up.
Oh, it's the truth.
Games,
yeah. There's,
but it wasn't even close. Like, it wasn't close. They did deserve that many teams in.
And they're proving it. That's the thing. They proved it by, well, like you just said, 7 of 16. Whew, they're going to have 4 of the Elite Eight probably. And Ole Miss is one of those teams that, you know, that was one of the middle SEC teams. So, and I don't bring that up for the Chris Beard thing, Well, you crisp
hey, the Big Ten. Big Ten's got a big day ahead with three Big Ten teams playing tonight. I mean, that's the Big Ten's either going to be all out, or it's going to be a really nice night. Because
I'd say that they'd only be favored in one of those games, Michigan State.
Yeah, the other two are not only not favored. Purdue and Michigan are big dogs. Like they're like 10-point dogs.
I do not see Purdue being able to hang with Houston. They're just, I think that they'll shut Purdue's guards down. We'll see. How do you see that game? You know better than I do.
You know, Trey Kaufman-Wren has been such the focal point for Purdue, a lot like Edie was last year. I mean, he gets the ball. He gets opportunities to score more than maybe anyone else across the country. And I think how he has played and how they handle him, or how much success he's able to have, will really determine if Purdue can get the game to if they can speed it up just a little bit, making some shots and get a lead. I think the game plays out a lot different. If Houston's able to get out to a 10-point lead in the first half, that's a very difficult team to come back against. They put it in the grinder and they put it in the blender, and every possession is a grind down the floor. So if Purdue can get out to a lead, I like their chances of winning. I actually like Purdue's chances tonight. I really do. I think Houston is, they're very good, but they struggle to score. Not struggle. They're just not a high flying team. They're not going to go do what Alabama did last night. And I think that gives Purdue a chance, because Purdue's got, you know, it's not just a Hail Mary chance. Like, they've got a decent chance, I think, tonight.
I think Kentucky loses to Tennessee, even though they beat them twice this year. But a point someone just made, yeah, Jeffrey, I just lost it. They keep moving around on me. He said that Big Blue Nation would have lost their freaking mind if Arkansas didn't choke that game away with Cal. Yes, and then especially if they would have won and Kentucky loses tonight. Woo-hoo! That would have really poured the salt right in that cut.
It would have. There's no doubt about it. But, I don't think look at it this way. Look at the big picture. You look at, like, a 10-year window right now. I don't think Kentucky would be disappointed with where they're at. I think they're set up in a pretty good spot.
They shouldn't be.
Yeah, they shouldn't be. And when Mark Pope is able to continue over a period of, you know, 3 or 4 years to bring in players and create that culture that he wants – you know, they're going to look a lot like probably a bigger, more athletic version of BYU. And that's what he created, you know, in that culture and program when he was there. And I think he's going to bring a lot of that to Kentucky. And, you know, that stings when a coach has success, when he leaves your program, not fired, but just leaves. And yeah, it would have definitely hurt their feelings.
And speaking of Kentucky, people don't forget. Next season, Indiana at Rupp Arena versus Kentucky. That is going – you talk about bringing excitement back. All you got a new coach. You're going to have a new team. Probably going to have a pretty good team. I don't like the chances of going to Rupp Arena without even knowing any situation.
We don't know who any of the players are going to be, but we know who the coaches are going to be. That's a start. So, yeah, it's going to be – hey, look, it's going to be a battle. It's not going to be an easy game. If it was going to be an easy game, we wouldn't be excited about it. So it's a great opportunity, and that's all you can ask for. You know, in that first year, Indiana's got a chance to go do something that's pretty cool and play in Rupp Arena. So, yeah, it's a big deal.
Just the fact that series is back is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And I'm telling you, I think that the Stars, it took a couple years – and I don't want to jump the gun here, but I think the Stars are going to align for this Indiana program to get back to where it should be. Now, I'm not talking about getting back to where it was when you played, because I don't think that kind of dominance is going to happen much anymore, because you don't have coaches that could dominate like they did then. Now, because of how the college game is really being evened out with the NIL and the transfer portal, it makes it a lot tougher to do that. But I think it is going to head in the right direction of competing with teams like Kentucky, beating teams like Kentucky, competing in and winning, being competitive in the Big Ten, whether it's in first, second, third, or fourth. You know, you're not going to win first every year, but just to be competitive instead of finishing ninth and tenth.
Yeah, I mean, look, Indiana has to get back to the point where, you know, they're in contention. And that's all you can ask for. That's what you want to work towards, that every year you're up there. You know, you're like a Michigan State. And I know Michigan State won it this year. I'm telling you, that is one of the best coaching jobs that's been done in a long, long time that Coach Izzo did.
Is that the best coaching job he's ever done at Michigan State? Because he didn't really have a superstar.
It's tough because, I mean, if you don't win a national championship, for someone who has won a national championship, it's pretty hard to say that's a better coaching job. Winning the national championship, look, it not only takes incredible discipline and skill and all the things, it takes a little bit of luck. And it takes, you know, it takes the ball bouncing your way in a certain game and at a certain time. And you know, a ball going in or a ball not going in or whatever the case may be, there's a little bit of luck involved. And you know, I was fortunate enough to win a state championship. We had a little bit of luck involved. Like it takes a little bit of that. And every team that goes through that outside of, and I will give them the credit, UConn the last 2 years has blown everybody out. They blew everybody out in the NCAA tournament. And so right now this is a situation where, you know, with the portal and with all of that, I do think it's going, when you create the culture, which is what Coach DeVries has talked a lot about, it's much easier to be consistently good. And I think that they're going to be able to bring in a guy or two every year. The best part about Indiana in today's nature of the beast is their NIL budget. And that bucket of money is going to attract players. No matter what's happened in the past, players don't care about that. These players don't care that Indiana hasn't been relevant in 25 years. The players nowadays don't care. They all think they can be the thing that turns it around. And I think with Trent Sicily, you have I think with Coach DeVries and Trent Sicily coming in, you have a jump start on your culture. And that's something we didn't have a year ago. And I know a year ago when the season ended, there wasn't a lot to look forward to. I mean, we were looking at what roster was going to get put together. And then that didn't guarantee anything because everyone, I think, in Indiana was pretty excited about that roster. And we all thought a top three finish was not guaranteed, but pretty sure. And none of that came to fruition. And so, you know, now I think Coach DeVries, I'm so excited for the fact that culture is what comes out of his mouth almost first, because that's what I've been jealous of for Purdue for the last several years. And you can ride all the craziness that goes on with NIL and all the stuff that's going on. You know, watch what happens with Purdue. I don't know anything. I literally don't know anything. But, I mean, it's going to be really hard for Purdue to keep they have. I see a lot of Purdue people post stuff about, look at what our starting lineup's going to look like next year. with the NIL situation, that's going to be a tough one for them to keep. They're going to have to at minimum triple their NIL budget. And I don't see that happening.
Yeah. Culture. The one thing, while the game has changed a ton, the one thing that you still have to have is culture.
Yeah.
If you don't, you do not. There's no way you can have consistency if you don't.
But there's no doubt about it. And there's no way. There's no way you can attract the right type of players if they come in and they don't know what's expected. And when you know what's expected, you look. When we played for Coach Knight, we went in there. I hate to be Bill Walton and keep RIP, keep bringing up myself. But I mean, when we went to play for Coach Knight, we knew what we were signing up for. I mean, yeah, did he headbutt people? Yeah. Did he kick people in the shin? Yeah. We knew that. We knew we signed up for it. And I'd sign up for it again today. And all of us would have. So it's just when you know what your expectations are, you sign up for it, you go with it. And, you know, people don't sign up for the Army thinking that – it's going to be fun. It's a discipline and a grind, and that's what it is.
Exactly. Great, great analogy. Todd Leary, as always, brother, you hit the nail on the head. Appreciate you.
Enjoy. Have a good weekend.
Enjoy you have boots. One as well.
Thanks.
That's going to wrap it up for this hour. We've got lots more coming up from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Friday. And welcome in Zach Osterman, the IU insider and beat writer for the Indy Star. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, you know, just another busy week. A few things going on here and there, but it's all good. We've got a lot of basketball this weekend. A ton of basketball, actually, with the high school finals up in Indianapolis, the regional final at Lucas Oil. But that's how it should be every year in Indiana. And the weather's going to be great, so not much to complain about there. Indiana, Darren DeVries is a busy man right now, as you know, still putting together a staff. And I was just talking to Todd Leary a little bit ago, and how hard is it right now without having his staff in place? I know he has guys that are coming with him probably, but he doesn't have it in place, and he's got to navigate all of these transfer portal players and all of that. How is he navigating that without having his guys in place?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he does have some in place. And you know, the HR process is you know, in Indiana kind of takes some time. But I am confident there are at least, you know, two or three staffers with him organizing some things, laying things out. No, I mean, it's not easy, but like, listen, this is just what you get when you make a coaching change. Like, everyone hates this calendar. I get that. But it's not something anyone can avoid. It's not something Indiana did to itself. You know, everyone is going through the same thing. I mean, we could have the same conversation about teams that are in the NCAA tournament. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Alabama's got one assistant that it's basically just completely dedicated to the transfer portal, despite the fact that it's still playing. I mean, I think on game day, you know, everybody's in the game, but like, in terms of like prep during the week between the round of 32 and the Sweet 16, I think Alabama took two assistants and said, you get us ready for the games, and took one assistant and said, you've got to start building us toward the portal, because we got to go. You know, there's the game, the season is still going on for these teams. And yet at the same time, you know, they don't, they have to be thinking for next year. I thought it was interesting that Matt Painter said, when he's got guys that maybe can get one more year, he sits them down in the fall. And he says, I don't need an answer like right now, but I need an answer in the next couple of weeks about whether or not you think you might want to take that next year. And he was talking, I think, about Mason Gillis and I think Ethan Morton specifically. But his point was, you got to plan for it in the fall so that it's not something that's you know, popping up and grabbing you in the spring. So if you're Darren DeVries, you know, yes, on the one hand, there's a lot going on. You got to fence a lot of stuff, you know, in a short space of time without a full staff. On the other hand, you do have the advantage that some of your direct competitors don't, which is, at very least, it's all you have to worry about. You're not traveling, you're not practicing, you're not prepping, whatever. You can only be focused on staffing and recruitment right now and nothing else. So, I mean, it's just, listen, this is the world everybody lives in. You just kind of got to find a way to make it work.
Yeah, and the one good thing, I guess, he doesn't have to worry about is losing players, because you're kind of starting at, I don't want to say ground zero, but not too far from that, with one recruit coming in and just possibly one player back. Bryson Tucker not heading the portal yet. That is probably a sign. I don't want to predict that he won't, but you would think that by now the conversations have been had between himself and Darren DeVries, and having him not entered the portal yet kind of pushes me in the direction of thinking that, just like Miles Rice and Kanan Carlisle hitting it after I believe they probably had those conversations, is a telling.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, I don't want to speak for anybody else. You know, I haven't talked to Bryson Tucker or his family. I've been kind of more focused on covering the NCAA tournament the last few days. But, you know, I mean, yeah, the longer a player goes not in the portal, the more you wonder, actually, are they sticking around? You know, is there mutual interest in you know, kind of being retained from last season to this season? And, you know, I don't know. You know, I've talked to people about DeVries's sort of style. I haven't had as much time to kind of dig in to his I haven't had as much time to kind of dig into like film yet that of kind of some of his games, but my impression has always been that he's, you know, he plays a little smaller than what Indiana has done in recent years. You know, not certainly not two bigs, not a lot of post up actions, a lot more sort of, you know, I think motion based concepts, a lot less, you know, come down, set the offense, go to the big, and then let everything rotate around that. But a little bit more of just kind of, like I said, just motion concepts where everybody's constantly kind of in the action together. So maybe there is an appeal in keeping a, you know, kind of a wing player like Tucker, who clearly has some, you know, some very real potential. Maybe there is interest in keeping him around, but, you know, again, I recruiting, especially portal recruiting at this time of year, feels like one of those just never say never kind of deals.
Yeah, and Indiana fans, I know that they're anxious. They want to see who this team is going to be, but it's not going to just happen that quickly. There's, you mentioned a lot of things that you have to go through. Coach DeVries is he has to vet these guys in his own way as well. I'm not saying like potential employees get vetted, but has to be some research done quickly on these guys to make sure that not only are they the right fit, but they fit in every way on and off the court.
No, of course. I mean, and that's, you know, we got a chance to sit down with DeVries this week, and I also got a chance to talk to his AD at Drake, the athletic director who hired him at Drake, Brian Harden. And you know, something DeVries talked about at his hiring press conference, he talked about when we were sitting down. And I asked Brian about it too. I've actually known Brian for a lot of years because he used to be the Notre Dame football SID. You know, I think that the phrase he uses is the front end. And what he means is if you compromise, if you skip steps, if you cut corners at all at the front end, there's a decent chance that at some point that's going to create greater complications for you. And Brian Harden, again, his AD at Drake, made the point that, you know, he had multiple years at Drake where he had an injury. You know, his best 1 year, his best player tore his ACL. Another year, I think there was a shoulder injury. You know, and obviously last year, of course, at West Virginia with his son. And Brian's point was, it's because DeVries does such a good job, you know, planning and building a roster, you know, kind of doing due diligence on kids before he brings them in, whether they're high school recruits or transfers. It is so sort of like, I guess, imperative, and of course it is for everyone, but one of the things everyone who's worked with or around Darren DeVries has told me is one of his greatest skills is getting it right at the beginning, being, you know, getting it right with player evaluations, getting it right with character evaluations, building teams that structure well and sort of cohese well together. That's not a word, but you know what I'm saying. And then what that allows him to do is when the problems arise later in the season because someone's hurt or something's not working or whatever, there are a lot more solutions because he's built this really strong foundation. Brian Harden told me a story about, and he didn't name the player, and I understand why, but a player reached out to Drake with interest coming out of the portal. You know, one of the years DeVries was head coach there. And Drake kind of politely passed, and the kid landed at a Big Ten school. And Brian said his, you know, just like his curiosity got the better of him, and he was just like, hey, you know, like, do you think, you know, could this guy have played here? I mean, he's at a Big Ten school. And DeVries said, yeah, he could have, but when something went wrong, he would have kind of turned for himself. He would have become a problem because he would have just worried about himself. And that was kind of the point that Brian was making, is when DeVries talks about all that work at the front end being the foundation for everything and the most, you know, I mean, he's kind of talked about it almost like it's the most important part of his job. that's the kind of thing he's talking about. And so, you know, time will tell what it looks like on the back end. If we're going to use the, if we're going to kind of continue that metaphor, time will tell what it looks like on the back end, in terms of, you know, what the roster looks like, how it's constructed, you know, who your key players are, et cetera. But right here, right now, this is what everyone who knows him says is really DeVries' sweet spot, is having a great feel for being able to process, you know, being able to research kids, process information quickly, build a strong profile of a guy and say either A, he's going to fit us in what I'm trying to do, or B, he's not, and we're going to go somewhere else.
Well, you can definitely look at, you know, of course, what he did at Drake, but moving on to West Virginia, who was finished last in the Big 12 conference and was picked to finish last again. And that's not what was happening with them. They, in essence, made the tournament, get screwed out of it. But so that's a, he'd already made a great turnaround at a place where, not that they hadn't had some basketball tradition, obviously they have, but not great. And it hadn't been great, obviously, before he took over. So I don't think that Indiana fans are going to be remiss in expecting a good start here. And I think that that's going to be the case. But I think more importantly, it's going to be, and me and Todd talked about this, more culture. They're going to see at least some culture. And it's going to be a DeVries stamp culture mixed with Indiana. But you have to have a culture. It doesn't have to be something specific, but there has to be something to keep you consistent, to keep your teams consistent. And so I think that that is something Indiana fans are going to get to see beginning next season.
And he's been, I mean, listen, he's been around, you know, coaches that obviously he's done it himself. He did it at Drake. And, you know, what's funny about West Virginia is, You get the sense from just the anger out of Morgantown when he left that they thought he was a really good coach and that they didn't want him to leave. But what's remarkable to me is that's the first time in his career that he's really jumped, because he was at Creighton for so long. And in fact, Dana Altman tried to bring him to Oregon, and he decided instead, especially because of his family and they were comfortable in Omaha and they were near other, you know, that their extended family and stuff. He decided to stay at Creighton with Greg McDermott instead. And, you know, he said there were a couple times when he turned down jobs that Dana Altman was like, you have got to take this job. But he was very patient. And on the other hand, he applied for the Drake job three times and didn't get it until, you know, sort of the third time's the charm kind of thing. And then he was at Drake for six very successful seasons, when you would imagine there were probably some opportunities to move on then as well. So when you talk about culture, like, listen, everybody wants culture, right? Everybody wants, you know, players that work hard and mesh well and represent the program well in the community and do well in the classroom. Like nobody's out there like, I hope I have a roster full of disrespectful miscreants who are constantly vandalizing, you know, local furniture stores. Nobody's looking for that. But what I think, you know, again, when you talk to people about DeVries and his ability to identify players that fit him and players that fit what he tries to do, I think it's interesting too how deliberate and how selective he has been with his own career in terms of, you know, when he's decided that is, you know, that is what I want, and that's something I think I can do well. And when he said, no, I'm here, this is where I need to be right now, and I'm going to be patient, I'm not going to rush it, I'm not going to force anything. So I just think, like, you know, I think there's an extent to which that culture kind of starts at the top with him. And I think, you know, we'll see if it works out in Indiana. I mean, I've covered far too many, you know, failed head coaches here to start making bold predictions about this will work or this can't miss or whatever. But what I will say is, you know, when I talk to people, when I observe him, when I research his career, when I talk to people who know him, it just seems like one of his greatest strengths is understanding what his teams need, what he needs in a player, how he connects to a player, et cetera. and all that stuff, you know, winds up kind of boiling down to your culture.
Without question. And something somebody asked earlier is why hadn't Tucker DeVries committed yet? And I just said that maybe DeVries would like for his first commitment to be someone other than his son. But there's no reason. I don't think there's a reason. I don't think that there's any doubt that he's going to play for Indiana next year if healthy, but I don't know why he wouldn't to do that. There is NIL stuff that you got to go through. No, like, yeah.
Let me say the most I can on this, based on what I know and like in what I'm comfortable kind of reporting or saying out loud or whatever. Just because someone hasn't announced it doesn't mean they're not in the program. Just because it hasn't been announced doesn't mean like that the paperwork isn't processed. Doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, listen, that there was a time when we didn't announce this stuff on social media, right? Like there was a time where the player just showed up, he took his physical, he registered for his classes, he did all the things he needed to do. You know, either he or if it was necessary, a parent signed off on all his forms, and that was it. He was done. You know, nobody needed to post an edit that was, you know, or a video that was like, I'm here now. You know, just because nothing has been formally announced does not mean nothing has happened. That is what I would say. And
yeah, especially when it comes to staffers, that takes even longer to come through. And last thing, what the heck was I going to ask? What do you think the chances are, which I think they're good, for Luke Goody getting a waiver for another season?
So this is where, like, I have to put on my my lawyer hat, and I'm always hesitant to do that because I'm certainly not a lawyer. On its face, Goody really doesn't have a case. Because the rule says, and I've never been fully clear how the NCAA treats postseason games when it counts. Because the rule is you have to have played in fewer than 30% of your team's games. You know, in football, it's always three games. If you play more than three games, other than the 4-game redshirt rule that, you know, that has been allowed in football, and I don't really know why we aren't doing that in basketball, but that's a separate conversation. Other than that, like, you know, if like, let's say you've already used your red shirt in football. If you play more than three games, if you play 4 games, that's 33% of your 33% of your season. You can't get the year back via a medical waiver. In basketball, it's like 9 or 10. You know, obviously, it depends a little bit on how many games you play. And this is where I think the NCAA doesn't consider when it's calculating the 30% threshold postseason games, because the idea is not everybody plays the same number of postseason games. A player who plays for a team that goes to the Final Four, you know, in theory, they have a better shot at a medical hardship waiver than a player who plays for a team that doesn't go to the NCAA tournament because they play a different number of games. So the rule says if you play those games in the second half of the season, any of them, you can't have the year back. I think that's probably intensified by the fact that he played in the postseason. On the other hand, if we don't count postseason games, he only played in something like 28% of his team's games because he appeared in 8 of 31 regular season games. What I know Goody is arguing sort of publicly is he should not be penalized for wanting to come back and help his team. He shouldn't be penalized for trying to compete. He could have shut it down and said, no, I want to save this year. I don't want to burn a year of eligibility, but he didn't do it. He came back to help his team. They went to the NCAA tournament, yada, yada, yada. What I think will probably be more compelling to argue in terms of, you know, that's maybe a compelling argument in the court of public opinion in a hearing with the NCAA, or if Goody was willing to take, if it eventually required this and Goody was willing to take it to court, what I think would be a more compelling argument is the NCAA has just kind of arbitrarily decided that games in the first half of the season count different from games in the second half of the season. There shouldn't, like, what's the reason for that? I'm sure the NCAA had one when it wrote the rule, but the problem now is when we used to have these conversations about eligibility, they were all based on the assumption that we all had to accept the NCAA's definition of amateurism. and therefore any question of your eligibility was related to your status as an amateur athlete. Now, we don't necessarily at the legal level have to accept that definition of amateurism so absolutely anymore. And Goody, I think, can reasonably say, I would be making six figures in NIL plus revenue sharing next year if I got this year back. The only reason I can't have this year back is because you sort of arbitrarily decided that these games count different to these games. That doesn't make any sense. I shouldn't be penalized for trying to help my team when, if I'd played all these games in November, no one would have any problem with what I'm asking for now. And you are, by denying me this fifth year, you are denying me essentially, you know, right to fair earning. And Goody can say, without much trouble, this is how much money I'm not going to be allowed to make because of your eligibility. And if you've already got, you know, players like athletes like Diego Pavia, frankly, arguing much more dramatic sort of exceptions to eligibility rules, like things as sort of fundamental as junior college years shouldn't count as NCAA years, which Pavia's case is a little more complicated than that, but just to kind of, you know, I'm already on a ramble, so I'm trying to streamline it for you. Goody can say, like, basically all I'm asking you to do is just consider that basketball games are basketball games no matter when in the season they're played, and that this rule was probably already kind of arbitrary and unfair. And again, I think if he's willing to push it this far, Goody is going to have a compelling argument to say this is an antitrust violation on the grounds that I have the right to this, to earn this wage. I did it last year. Here are all these examples of other players doing it. And you're preventing me from doing that via an arbitrary rule based on what? And that's where I think Goody, it may be one where Goody has to take it a little ways. Now, maybe the NCAA, maybe he gets in front of the NCAA, rattles the saber a little bit, and the NCAA says, you know what? There's fights worth fighting and there's fights worth letting go. This isn't a fight worth fighting. If they deny him and Goody is willing to take it further, I think he's got a case, but that may end in a courtroom somewhere, or at least in depositions and attorney fees and billable hours, as ever, are undefeated.
Where the NCAA does not historically have a good record. So
no, certainly not. And certainly not in cases where the athlete is arguing the NCAA is obstructing the athlete's right to earning a fair wage. And Goody can justifiably say, if I don't get this year back, then I'm leaving, you know, I mean, I don't know what Luke Goody's NIL situation was last year, but I think we can all guess that it was probably in six figures. I'm leaving that on the table. So, yeah.
Sounds great. Zach Osterman, the IU Insider for the Indy Star. Make sure you're a subscriber. Keep local papers alive. Appreciate you, my friend. Enjoy your weekend.
Absolutely. You too, Jim. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Zach Osterman again from the Indy Star. Up next, Allie Glasley joined us. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Allie Glasley joining us now with the Pacers cap on. Where were you the other night? They needed somebody to block out, man.
Yeah, didn't they ever? That was a phenomenal fourth quarter, fun second half. But obviously, I think the Bulls made up for it last night with their buzzer beater in return for the Lakers. So I think they got what they deserved on that one.
We'll see how that ball keeps on bouncing. But this weekend, I've been talking about all day. There's just a ton of hoops going on in Indianapolis between the state finals and the NCAA regional. And you've got Matt Painter versus Kelvin Sampson. First of all, you could just stop right there with that statement and let it go on its own. It'll be very interesting. I don't see Purdue being able to handle Houston, but that that's why they play the games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think it'll be a fun game. It'll be a good game. I think Houston's a little bit too tough for Purdue, too long and athletic on the perimeter. I think that's been the downfall, right, in all the games that Purdue has lost, even dating back to last year, is just the inability at times for Fletcher Loyer to really get going against more athletic and longer perimeter players. You know what Braden Smith is going to do, so that's not going to be an issue. Right, if Trey Kaufman Wren stays out of foul trouble, that's probably going to help Purdue, obviously, in the long run there. But I just think you need to get some sort of production out of Fletcher Loyer at a consistent rate from start to finish tonight in order to be able to come out with the win. And unfortunately, I just don't think a lot of people have the confidence in him to do that when you go up against teams like this that force him to put the ball on the floor, force him to get to the rim. He just doesn't have the strength and he's a tough kid, but he doesn't have the sheer toughness to get through contact and finish at the rim. And I think that's where he sometimes struggles. That's where this Purdue team struggles. And obviously if Kaufman Wren is going to be in foul trouble, then it doesn't matter what, in my opinion, what the other two guards do. Houston's going to come out with that one. So it'll be interesting. I think it'll be a close game for a while, but I think Houston's just going to wear Purdue down pretty much towards the end of this one.
And as Darren DeVries is putting his staff together, one of the names that was banded around, of course, Corey Barnett, because a previous IU player, previous IU staffer, but he had been interviewing for head coaching jobs, and Cooley whistles off of the hotline, says that he just took a head coaching job, so you can cross him off of the list. But also earlier when talking with Todd, that one of the names that is still around, Mark Adams, who Bloomington South High School graduate, who his family, a great connections throughout AAU and the Indiana high school scenes. He's been an assistant for some time. He's at Cincinnati currently. So that's a name I would not be surprised to see coming to Indiana, and may already be a done deal. And talking with Zach, because and we all know things are not always announced when they're being done. It's until you know they're done, especially on staffers. They have to be vetted and go through the background checks and all of that. That's why you don't see official announcements a lot of time until even after you've already heard about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Drew Adams, a phenomenal potential addition, right, to this staff. I mean, he worked under Steve Alford as well, right? So you have not only, you know, his ties to the program to begin with, but having that ability to be from Bloomington, be from the state of Indiana. I think, you know, we get tied up a little bit too much in having, you know, head coaches with the state of Indiana pull. And I think it's okay not to have that, as long as you build a staff that's going to have some sort of connections here. Obviously, Darren DeVries already has connections in the Midwest, but having a guy like Drew Adams potentially on the staff is only going to bolster that. And I think it's a very good potential hire, right, if he does end up coming over from Cincinnati. Has all the ties in the world, right, locally, but even more so, right, in the Midwest, and even more so now since he's been at Cincinnati. So we're probably not going to hear, you know, one-off staff additions until everything is finalized, and I'm sure Zach talked about it too, right? It's probably going to be once everything is fully set in stone, you're going to make those additions and make those announcements. But, you know, let's not get it twisted. There's probably the majority of the staff already put together. If not most of it, definitely, you know, a few guys that are probably already out on the recruiting trail that are just doing it through back channels. So I would probably expect something here in the next week before too long here.
And it's possible a guy might still be working at the moment. And I mistakenly said Mark, his dad, it's Drew Adams. Apologize for that. But both of those names, though, have been around in Indiana basketball. The state for quite some time. Portal, the portal is live and happening. Every time somebody enters it, you know, people are like, oh, so and so's in the portal. Man, it's going. You could do that all day with yourself if you wanted to, because there are just going to be tons and tons of names that are in the portal. But what are some of the names that you have seen that kind of gets your attention?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one right off the bat that went in this morning, Ryan Conwell. Obviously, you know, everyone is familiar with his game. Everyone familiar with the name as well. Pike High School kid, obviously went to South Florida to get his career started, but don't think a lot of people remember that aspect of him. They remember him obviously from last year, the run that Indiana State had, and then obviously joining Sean Miller at Xavier for this season. A guy who showed that he can play at this level. Phenomenal two-way guard, but more so phenomenal scoring guard that Indiana has not had at that position in quite some time. So I think he's the one guy that you probably look at the most. Would be able to come in, play, you know, pretty much immediately with Tucker DeVries, both on and off the ball. Having that kind of duo in your backcourt immediately sets you up for success, to not even looking at what the rest of the potential roster would look like. You know, there's a couple other guys on Xavier that we'll kind of see what happens and see potentially where, you know, they would end up. But outside of that, I think there's still a ton of names that have obviously yet to enter the portal. We all know that probably over the next 2 weeks, right, we're going to see a heck of a lot more names come out. But I think the big name is definitely Ryan Conwell. I think it's once you get Tucker in the fold, once you get potentially another guard, we'll see what happens. But obviously the one that's probably closest to making any sort of commitment is Connor Enright from DePaul. Played obviously at Drake for 2 years under DeVries, so knows the system, knows the scheme, knows exactly what, you know, Darren DeVries wants out of a point guard. Now, a lot of people probably just look at the stats, look at the shooting percentage last year, and are probably a little bit turned off by what he potentially could provide. But this is a guy that's a veteran, played a lot of college basketball over his 3 years up to this point, had a good year at DePaul. Maybe not shooting the ball the way that he would like, but the year before at Drake, again, in a Darren DeVries system, shot about 37-38% from three. So he's a guy who's shown the ability to do that, but more importantly, can run this team, average about 6.5-7 assists a game, and had a assist rate of 37.5%. And when you look at what Trey Galloway did last year, had an assist rate of 29%. Right. So if you're going to add 10% onto what Trey Galloway was already able to do from kind of a point guard facilitating perspective, that's a phenomenal addition, especially when you look at what Darren DeVries wants out of his offense, which is space the floor, get a lot of shooters, and you're going to need someone who can obviously facilitate the offense there. So I think you look at, you know, those kind of two guys right off the bat, Connor Enright and then Ryan Conwell, as two potential additions. I think you're probably leaning a lot more towards the Connor Enright side right now, just because he does have a visit set up for next Tuesday, and will likely be a relatively short, you know, kind of recruiting cycle after that. Iowa probably the only other team that you really have to worry about at that point. But it does appear that Indiana is going to get the second visit, and probably what will end up being the final visit. It looks like it probably will come down to potentially Iowa or Indiana at this point for him.
And what exactly is it that Darren DeVries is looking for in players right now for his system?
Yeah, I mean, I think he said it, right? I mean, shooters. He said specifically he wants depth at the shooting position. So, right, if you potentially look at what you could have just right off the bat, right, who knows what's going to happen with Luke Goody, but let's just say that you do get a waiver from him, right? So that's one shooter. Tucker DeVries is another shooter. There's a reason they're going after, again, a facilitating point guard in Connor Enright, who may or may not start for this team, but play significant minutes if he does end up coming to Indiana. Outside of that, I mean, he's had physical forwards, but always guys who can step out and play a little bit on the perimeter. He said that he wants to score right in the first 12 seconds of the shot clock. When they do get the ball, he's a guy who wants to push the pace, not necessarily, you know, every single time they get the ball and scoring a transition, but he wants to be able to score in at least the secondary break, right? And the only way that you do that is get the ball up the floor and look to score in those first, you know, 10 to 15 seconds of the shot clock. So you're probably going to be looking at a team that's probably a little bit smaller in size, but more physical, and a team that's going to be able to play a lot more true kind of four around one or even five out at times, while still not losing any of that physicality in the paint necessarily.
And that is going to be a product that I think Indiana fans are going to welcome. And all the judging that is going on right now, I just sit back and I'm like, all right, I know I am not an expert on coaching because I don't know everything that is going on with them or has. And I do not understand why fans are not a little more accepting of this decision. Most are, but there's always going to be a dissatisfied faction. And most of that is the Chris Beard crowd, I think. But that's just my thoughts on it. But I think that this is a good hire. It is a solid hire. And it's a hire that comes without baggage. It's a hire that allows Indiana to start fresh and clean and start off very well. He is a very well-liked guy. He has a good personality. And that's, boy, the last two coaches did not have – he's a recruiter. He's a grinder. Both of the last two coaches had neither of those qualities that he has.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he has a great mix of his personality, right, being there, which is something that Archie Miller didn't have. And I thought Archie Miller had kind of the X's and O's when he did talk, right? And then you go to Mike Woodson. Mike Woodson probably had a little bit too much personality and didn't have the X's and O's when he was discussing everything. You know, he said the same thing almost every post-game press conference, and you know, very rarely got into kind of the nitty-gritty details of what he was actually trying to run. I mean, we already know, you know, what Darren DeVries wants to do, how he wants to build a team. He was very, very specific with it. But I think the bigger thing is, you know, he's very comfortable with who he is, and he's not, he doesn't think this job is too big for him, right? I think that was one very significant part of why Archie Miller failed. Is I think he was nervous to fail in that role. I don't think Darren DeVries has that sort of kind of nervous, anxious energy. I mean, he has, you know, pretty much built his entire career for a job like this. And he has very, very similar personalities to Kurt Cignetti, right? And when you look at what, you know, Scott Dolson's been able to do, you build the football program based off of a guy who has proven that he can win at every single level, but more importantly, has had success as a coordinator at the Power Four level, right? I mean, obviously working under Nick Saban and what he was able to do, but more importantly, learning from a lot of those guys. That was why I was never a huge fan of what Ben McCollum was going to bring, because he had never had any sort of Power Four experience, even as an assistant coach, not even mid-major experience before the Drake job. So when you look at actually comparing resumes, I think that's one thing that you can really kind of pinpoint what Darren DeVries has. Obviously, learning under Dana Altman, who's done a phenomenal job wherever he's been, but more specifically, right, you know, more recently at Oregon. And then obviously what he was able to learn under McDermott at Creighton after Dana Altman left. And every single coach, I know, you know, they're always going to say this, but every single coach has been raving about keeping Darren DeVries as an assistant, and how that was, you know, the top decision that they ever made, and the best choice that they ever made. And one thing with that is you learn along the way, yeah, but you learn what doesn't work before you actually go and then are able to throw that in as a head coach. So I think it's a hire that is going to pay dividends for this program, because he's ready for this moment. But more importantly, he has the experience and has the network that has really helped him grow and learn from, you know, maybe some of these other mistakes that the other head coaches probably wouldn't have learned from up until this point.
Exactly. And I'm looking forward to seeing the team once it finally does come together. And Michael made a great comment on the hotline a bit ago, and I can't pull it back up, but I can tell you what it said was that, you know, last year, when Dusty May took over, it was like 4 weeks before he signed his first player. These guys are just entering the portal. There are visits to make. There's some vetting that the coaches have to do of the players. It's just not a bang bang thing. Now, some of these players probably will be quicker than other, like the Connor Enright, because that's kind of probably started a little bit farther down the line than we really know. But that's the biggest reason, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, look, some of these conversations with recruits obviously have already been happening. Some are going to obviously continue to happen through agents before they even are officially in the portal too. But the bigger thing is, just because they haven't, you know, officially announced anything doesn't mean that they're not, you know, at the 1-inch line. A lot of these guys obviously have the relationships before they even enter the portal and are going to commit right on the spot. There's other guys that take a lot longer because they want to see kind of how the roster actually turns out and how it plays out. But, you know, specifically for Indiana, it's been 1 week, 1 week and a few days on the job. I don't think anyone's too worried. They shouldn't be, especially when you already know you're going to have a guy in Tucker DeVries coming with. So you already have a good kind of backbone and foundation of what potentially your roster can be there from at least that standpoint. And there's 1,200 players in the portal right now. There's going to be a couple hundred more, if not 1,000, right, that enter in the next 3 weeks. So if you see guys committing, that's great. Just know that there's probably bigger fish that are going to be coming here pretty soon. And let's be honest, there haven't been a ton of commitments. There's been a whole bunch of names entered, but there have not been a ton of commitments up to this point. So it's not like, you know, Indiana's way behind the ball with any of this. There, if anything, probably, you know, already know 4 or 5 guys that are probably going to be coming and are just kind of finalizing information here.
I also think that this year a lot of players are going to have much bigger NIL expectations, and that's part of what we're going to see, why it stretches things out a little bit. I saw earlier someone posted that a New Mexico player entered the portal is allegedly asking for $3 million, and that's going to happen, and that's going to lead to either people not being interested or negotiations, because most places are not just going to hand you a $3 million check. There's just so much that's going to have to go through that. That'll probably slow the process down as well. But I also believe that a coach like Darren DeVries is going probably not deal with those kinds of players. Not that there won't be negotiations for guys, but guys that are just asking for the world right off the bat, that tells you that it's more about me than we, which I understand that there is an aspect to that, and you have to look out for yourself. I get it, and I understand that. But you also have to, there's a balance, and that balance becomes pretty apparent in how you handle yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, he even talked about it in his introductory press conference, right? I mean, he said that there's probably times where his assistant coaches have been upset that they haven't taken a player if they bring him basically to him on a silver platter, because it just doesn't fit with the standard or the culture that he wants to build, right? So he's very nitpicky about how he builds his roster, but he's also built his roster from scratch multiple different times now. So he knows how to put together a winning team in year one. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just have some patience with kind of this entire process, because again, Indiana by no means is behind the eight ball here. There are a ton of programs that haven't landed a commitment yet. There are obviously still programs that haven't even had guys enter the portal yet. And there's still different scenarios that need to play out for a lot of these things to become official. So just because people haven't announced anything doesn't mean that that's not someone who's going to be coming at this point. But again, Darren DeVries is going to be very specific with how he builds his roster. And I think he should have the leash to be able to do that, because he's proven to be able to flip rosters with 9, 10, 11 newcomers and win right away. So it's all about how he wants to build that locker room. And he's proven that he's been able to do that by, you know, kind of handpicking and cherry picking specifically what those characteristics are.
Five Left says he hopes DeVries finds a new lead recruiter. Ostrom was terrible with Archie. Well, yeah, I've said over and over that Tom Ostrom will not be coming to Bloomington. I don't have any inside information on that, but I would be more than shocked to see that happen, especially on top of the names that I've already talked about today, as far as his staff would go. And I just think that he's going – I don't understand why there's so much doubt, other than because Indiana fans have gone through what they've gone through with the previous coaches. But if you look at what Darren DeVries has done, he's been successful. He's built programs. He built that Drake program. It wasn't Ben McCollum that built that Drake program. He goes to West Virginia and inherits a last place team, picked to finish last again, and basically had them in the tournament in year one. They got screwed out of it, but he had them there. So there's a bunch of discussion on the hotline about whether he'll make it in year one. Yes, it should always be the expectation to make the tournament. And yes, I would expect that they make the NCAA tournament next year. That's always your goal. Year one, year 15. It doesn't matter to me because he's going to put together a team every year. So just because it happens to be his first year, I don't think that's going to be a lot different. There will be some differences when you're already there, yeah. But he still has to put a team together like he did at West Virginia, and I don't think it's more difficult to do at Indiana than it was at West Virginia.
Yeah, and I mean, the resources that he's going to have at Indiana are going to be far and along greater than what he's ever experienced. And he talked about that, right? I mean, Scott Dolson talked about it, but more so, you know, Darren DeVries talked about having the resources readily available from day one is something that, you know, he's never really had. He has everything that he could possibly imagine, but he also understands that, you know, the resources aren't what goes out and wins games. It gives him the ability to go win games and be able to produce, but he has everything at his fingertips to be able to succeed. He's proven that he can succeed with a lot less. So to have doubt with what he should be able to bring Indiana should be a moot point. I mean, I think everyone is just so hung up on the fact that, you know, he's not the sexy name. He's not the Brad Stevens name. He's not the, you know, Scott Drew or whatever any other, you know, person wanted from their head coach. But at the end of the day, you know, sometimes those sexy names and sometimes those hot up and comers don't always work out. And you need to go back to, again, a proven track record, a guy who's won everywhere and more specifically fits the DNA of what, you know, Scott Dolson has looked at for what he's wanted to hire. Obviously I think you have very, very similar comparisons with Kurt Cignetti. And I think that's what people need to look at moving forward is, you know, the terminology that they both use, the process oriented type of system that they're going to run. Is very similar. And, you know, for Darren DeVries, he's a guy that's going to look at it as a day at a time. You know, he came in and he even obviously said he's not going to say we're going to win X amount of games. We're not going to win X amount of championships. It's all about winning every single day. And that's exactly, you know, what Kurt Cignetti said. And obviously we saw what happened there. But you know, Indiana fans, they don't need to be patience, not the right word, but they need to be patient in the early stages here over the next month or so, because everything isn't just going to fall onto a silver platter, right? It's going to take some time to build the entire roster, and games aren't won in the next 6 months, right? Games are won in November and December and in January. And too many times, I think people are getting hung up on winning the offseason. And yeah, you can win it to a certain extent, but no one knows how these rosters are going to look like in, you know, 7-8 months from now when teams are actually on the floor. And we saw last year that Indiana can put together a heck of a transfer portal class and win all those awards and accolades, but it doesn't work when it's on the court.
And having a little side conversation in there about, you know, some apathy amongst some Chris Beard fans, which I kind of just say, you got to let that go. It's that ship was never, ever even in port, but it has sailed. It sailed right on by.
It only came back up because they obviously took down Iowa State. They took down the hot team in Carolina right ending the year, and now they're still playing. That's the only reason. But I mean, again, this is, people need to get that out of their mind that he may have wanted to come to Indiana, but Indiana was never going to give him a second of looks here. And Indiana got the guy that they needed to get. And Chris Beard is never someone that you should probably want associated with your program.
Absolutely. And the expectations for winning will be there, but we'll let them play out just like this weekend, man. Games tonight, Purdue, Houston, Kentucky, Tennessee. Oh, there's great ones. Appreciate you, my friend. Look forward to talking to you. You'll be back with us on Tuesday. with a major announcement that you have to make.
As do you.
As teasing it just a little bit. You guys have a great weekend, brother. Enjoy the games.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Alec Lasley joining us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Man, the weather is spectacular, but apparently it's going to be windy. But are we supposed to get a bunch of rain this weekend? Man, I hope not. And I sent, if you were listening with us yesterday, I mentioned one of my favorite comedic routines, Wild Bill Bauer, no longer with us, but I saw him in concert once, and he did just had this famous routine, the World Russian Roulette Championships, and Greg from Fort Wayne sent me that very clip, and I passed it on to Bob Kravitz, and he loved it. I suggest you go look at it. So, man, what a fun day, and it's always fun, especially Fridays are great, especially when you got the weekend going. I hope that you guys get to go out and enjoy it, watch some great games. Anybody heading to the state championships up in Indianapolis tomorrow, I will be there. And I am usually neutral on everything, but I am not going to lie. As hard as it is, I'll be pulling for Jeffersonville, but I'm pulling more for Sherron Wilkerson. But looking forward to that. You guys are amazing. Appreciate the back and forth on the comments line. Love having the discussions. Keep them going. Nobody always agrees. That's why we have the discussions, and I love it. Big thanks to everybody for joining us on the program today, especially each and every one of you. Without you, we've got no reason to be here. We're back on Monday to do it again. Until then, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the big old radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.